Our lieutenant governor takes care of the state seal and runs the Division of Elections, but on the other hand, the office can be a stepping stone to other public office. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Get your questions ready for the issue of being Lieutenant Governor of Alaska. Bob Williams, our guest this week, calls toll-free at 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. A local call on Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org. We have one of the two Democrats seeking the office of Lieutenant Governor today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by Alaska Premier Dental Group, offering restorative, preventive, and cosmetic dentistry with three offices, two in Anchorage and one in Wasilla. Description of services at smilealaska.com. If you've served in the military, the Alaska VA welcomes you home and thanks you for your service. We encourage you to enroll for VA health care benefits. Go to 1010ez.med.va.gov to apply online in less than 5 minutes, or print, fax, or mail the two-page form to the VA. You do not need your DD-214 to apply. Call 257-3323 for questions. This message is sponsored by the VA. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Sometimes the most interesting election Talk of Alaska shows are with people who come into running for public office from some other realm than being a professional politician. And that's the case with Bob Williams today, who's chosen to run for lieutenant governor. He is standing for election as lieutenant governor of Alaska. Of course, first there's a primary election where he has to beat Hollis French. And then, well, Alaska is a red state. So if he were to get the Democratic nomination and be running with probably Byron Mowat, he'd be up against Sean Parnell and Dan Sullivan. And so that would be quite a contest, too. So Bob Williams, it's an uphill battle the whole way. Why are you choosing to even start on this?
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. And I got to say, having lived in Nome for 3 years and taught in Nome for 3 years, and also having worked as a statewide mentor in Savunga and Gamble, I know how Talk of Alaska and public radio is so widespread across the state. So I'm very honored to be on this program.
Well, thank you.
But I'm actually very excited to be running for lieutenant governor, and it isn't probably going to be Byron Mowat. It will be Byron Mowat as the Democratic nominee, and I have to say I'm very, very excited. My wife Connie and I have hosted Byron in our home and sat down, and along with Bruce Botello, former Attorney General, who's also working on the Mowat campaign, and many times you talk with policymakers, and sometimes they're listening, sometimes they're not. And when we sat down with Byron, what a man with a great vision for Alaska. He's got the leadership experience. He can fit in well on a corporate boardroom. He can also fit well. Some of my best experiences in Savunga, sometimes when I take a break and sit down with the elders having coffee in the Savunga Native Store. And Byron will fit in just as well there as he does leading AFN, just as well as he did leading the Alaska Permanent Dividend Fund. So talking about having a leader that is representing all Alaskans, that's just going to be absolutely great. And as far as campaigning for lieutenant governor, I have traveled to Fairbanks 3 times, Juneau several times, the villages of Napakiak, Napaskiak. I've gone to Dillingham, campaigned in Teller and Dornocht and Tanana, Alaknagik. And what I'm hearing from Alaskans all over is that they're ready for a change. And they're also very interested into a government that respects them, listens to them, and understands them. And there's not that feeling right now. So Byron Mowat is going to be our next governor, and it's going to be a great experience. And I'm very honored and working very hard to be the next lieutenant governor.
Okay, so you're working hard.
Yes, and just a little bit about myself, because a lot of people are still
Please,
getting to know
yes.
me.
Yes, well, that's the whole point of doing this show. Is who is this guy anyway?
Yes, absolutely. I am born and raised in Palmer. My father came to Alaska in 1949 and had a homestead and a one-man sawmill outside of Palmer in the Butte area. The homestead was outside of Wasilla, and the sawmill was in the Butte. My mom came in the late 50s and was a nurse at Providence Hospital back when it was on L Street in Anchorage, and she also worked some as a nurse at Valley Hospital in Palmer. And so there's no better way to grow up with a strong work ethic than to be the son of a logger. And if it was cutting down trees or lemon trees or loading logs or cutting firewood, whatever it was, there was a strong, just drilled into you from both my parents at an early age that you work hard. You work hard, and it isn't about the money you make. It's about establishing a reputation that you're a hard worker, you're dependable, and you're reliable. And so that work ethic from my parents, I've taken with me. I took it to UAF when I got a degree in petroleum engineering. I took it to the offshore oil platforms as a roustabout when I worked for Unocal for 2 summers. I took it to the Peace Corps when I was a math teacher in the Gambia, West Africa for 2 years. And I brought it back to Alaska as a teacher. When I taught in Nome and continued to teach in the Mat-Su Valley and as a statewide mentor until eventually I became a nationally board certified teacher and also the Alaska 2009 Teacher of the Year. So that idea that you never coast, you always work hard and you work to get better and better. And I think for a long time, I just thought that I'm just going to work hard in my classroom, never really delve into the political world, and just assume there's someone else off there that's smarter than me doing something. And I lost faith that there was someone else smarter there. I looked at a lot of the education policies that were coming out. I looked at some of the directions that our government has gone, like the decision not to expand Medicaid. And I realized that I wanted the state to go in a different direction. I'm working on a PhD in public policy, and I'm also an amateur magician, so I can notice sleight of hand and illusions that are political. And a lot of things I was hearing about education, things were being pushed, whether it was vouchers or trying to change the tenure rules, or the latest one was attempts to make it so you could be a superintendent without having ever taught in the classroom. I saw that sleight of hand, and there is a political process. And it takes a lot of work, and it's hard to do it from the lower rungs of middle class, but it's quite possible. And I have to say, I absolutely love traveling around Alaska, listening to Alaskans, learning, and I can't wait to be Lieutenant Governor. It's going to be great.
Bob Williams, math teacher, right?
Yes. I teach calculus and geometry at Colony High School, and I'm actually, as department chair, I have to be... My primary is August 19th, and so there's a referendum one on the ballot, but there's also a referendum on Bob Williams and people like me coming from the lower rungs of middle class. Hmm. I need to win my primary, and then the election is in November. So I have to be prepared to turn over my class. So I was teaching calculus, and I've arranged it to have other teachers teach calculus this year. I'm teaching Algebra 1 and geometry, so that if there's a new teacher that needs to come in, that it's easier for them.
Wow. So are you big on the union, the NEA?
I'm a union member. I'm a member of MSEA. I'm a member of NEA Alaska. I am on the Leading the Profession Committee for the NEA Alaska. And I have to say that for me, I'm also on the board of directors for the National Network State Teachers of the Year. So I'm a strong believer in teachers owning and leading the profession. We know what's going on in the classroom. And so when you have someone like Pete Kelly asking questions like, are you a member of NEA Alaska? To me, that's just a reminder that it's kind of a statement saying we're not interested in what practicing classroom teachers have to say on anything educational policy. We think we're the experts. And I think that's completely wrong.
Yeah, probably that probably sailed right over the head of a lot of our listeners, but not all of them. You're referring to a hearing on education funding, and it had to do with the BSA, the base student allocation, and the union obviously was pushing it. There was a coalition that was pushing a substantial rise in the base student allocation, and essentially the senator just didn't want to hear the same message repeated over and over again.
Yeah, and I think the part that your listeners will totally get is it's important to listen to all Alaskans. So if you have a senator that's having a hearing and he's trying to screen out so he doesn't hear from teachers that are working in the classroom and know what's going on with the students, that's a problem. And that's what he did. And that's why it was wrong.
But you were already running by that time, right?
Yes. Yes.
You had decided some time ago.
Yes.
Was there some other moment that you would tell me that would be a defining moment? I mean, you basically said, well, I just kept thinking there were other people smarter than me, and then one day I realized I'm not seeing them.
I'm a big beneficiary of a strong public education. My dad was a logger. He dropped out of high school in 10th grade. And I didn't have a lot of pressure to go to college, but I had great teachers growing up. And I felt like when I was growing up, there was a sense someone might have one issue with one teacher here or there, or thought there was an issue with one principal somewhere. But everyone knew we needed to have a high quality public education for all Alaskans. And so when I had teachers kept saying, you're good, keep going. And so I think I got an application to UAF, and I believe I filled it out in pencil and mailed it off. And I thought that was the really selective application process. And I got into UAF and ended up being a petroleum engineer. But it wouldn't have happened if I didn't have high quality teachers encouraging me along the way. And so, and that led to getting in the Peace Corps, which ended up eventually being the Teacher of the Year and working on a PhD in public policy. But none of that would have happened if I didn't have great public school teachers. And so what's concerned me is I've seen an erosion in support for public education. I talked to a woman.
So it was the education issue
was one of the issues. But yes, I'd say a primary issue, because to me, we have to believe in all Alaskans. There's no greater force for equity and making a positive difference and investing in our future than having a high quality education for all Alaskans. And that means in Savoonga, that means in Gamble, Tanana, everywhere. We have to make sure that everyone, and if you live on the hillside, you should care about the kids in Mountain View. And if you live in Anchorage, you should care about rural Alaska. We just have to make sure that, I guess I would say, as a math teacher, our radius of compassion and empathy needs to be longer, and we need to make sure that it's including everyone, not just our own children, not just our grandchildren, but all children.
Well, there's not going to be any trouble filling up an hour talking with you, but I'd really like the listeners to get a few cracks in at you.
Sure.
So 1-800-478-8255 is the telephone number. It's 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And our email talk@alaskapublic.org. This guy going on the other side of the microphone is named Bob Williams. He's running for lieutenant governor. And I think it's time we actually focused on some duties of the lieutenant governor. And what you've said so far is that, well, I'm thrilled to be thinking that I could be running with Byron Mallott. He's a really great guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But let's take the divisional elections.
Absolutely.
You have experience on St. Lawrence Island,
mm-hmm.
and Nome,
yes,
and other places. You have some idea of what the challenges are for rural education in Alaska.
Yes, I do.
And you have some idea of how well-equipped people who might not have English as their primary language, how well they are able to relate to the electoral process. Now, this is a legal issue right now
mm-hmm.
in the state of Alaska. There's a voting rights lawsuit against Alaska.
Yes.
Saying that not enough has been done for the multilingual, multicultural voters of the state. They're not getting equal access to the system. Is that true or not?
That's one of the reasons there's a lawsuit saying there's not enough being done is because there isn't enough being done. The state of Alaska needs to do much more to build trust and positive relationships with Alaska Native tribes across Alaska. And so one of the things that happens is that they're supposed to provide certain services, and they weren't always provided. And if you look at it turns out they'd kind of hire someone when they got sued, and then that person might leave after a while, and then maybe they got sued again. What would I do?
Do you know Gail Funumiai? Have you become acquainted with the people that run the system now?
Let me put it this way. I would solve the problem. I would take the same thing as take the engineering background. You look at a problem, you try and solve it. And I'm not saying it's easy. You look at ballot initiatives in English, sometimes they're rather confusing. But one thing you do is you have a task force and you see what the translation, you make that transparent. You know, here's the translation. Get critiques from other side. Try and bring in those sides that might sue you later and try and get agreement. But we just have a lot more work to do. And the other thing is we've had bills in our legislature pushing photo ID to vote. And that's a well-known voter suppression technique. to make it harder for rural Alaskans and Alaska Natives to
vote.
It's
not all that easy to get a driver's license
in
the bush.
You're in Savoonga and Gamble. You're not going to get a lot of people don't get a drive don't need a driver's license.
Right.
And if they do, it's a $400 ticket to get to Nome to get a picture. And if the state just issues one, it doesn't have a picture. So we have to be really clear with that. If we're even talking about that, it's like asking people in Anchorage to climb Flat Top and have a passport to vote. Sure, it's still possible, but it's not reasonable and it's not right. So one thing we're going to do is we're going to build trust and make sure that all Alaskans, and we're going to communicate very clearly that everyone who is eligible to vote is welcome to vote, respected, and encouraged to vote. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Libertarian, who you are. If you are eligible to vote, we're going to do everything we can to encourage it. And on my campaign...
You'll never get the money for it. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't want to push back too much, but that idea not true. I have a voting booth that I take around. And I've taken it to Kotzebue, I've taken it to Tanana, I've taken it to Teller, and I say the same thing. Make sure you bring your values into the voting booth. And I'm, as a lieutenant governor, I'm going to make it easier to vote. And we have...
Hey, that's hilarious. This is a campaign device?
Is a campaign device.
I travel with
it all over the place.
So you just fold it up luggage?
Yeah, I bought it for $200 on eBay, and it goes everywhere. If you look at my campaign page at williamsforalaska.com or on Facebook at Bob Williams for Alaska, you'll see lots of pictures with a voting booth. And I actually, in Nome, it was when last time I lived in Nome, but I at the Democratic convention, the ice pack was breaking up. And so my wife was there, and she's like, you better not drown. But I was hopping from chunk to chunk. I set up the booth. And got a great picture. And the same thing in Dillingham. I went to the village of Alaknagik and got a picture with it in the back of a boat. So it's the same thing. We just want to make sure it's easy to vote. Now, Washington and Oregon do vote by mail. We've had about 20 peer-reviewed studies looking at vote by mail, and it increases access. And in Alaska, we have to still look at, you know, how the access to mail, and we have a few things to look at. But I think vote by mail is a real strong possibility in Alaska, and I would push for that and increasing access to it also.
Well, so long as we're on this issue, and being as how there's still an open line or two at 478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. Locally in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. For Bob Williams, I'm going to pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
How about like clean elections? How about some of these more radical reforms, like people being able to vote their choice so that if the first choice don't come in, they have a second choice and they tabulate that?
I think before we move to something like that, that would be something we'd want to have not just with legislators, but we'd want to have a wide discussion with Alaskans. And make sure, because what happens with elections, because I get sometimes people say, well, what about internet voting? I can watch a movie on my phone. I can do my banking on my phone. Why can't I vote on my phone? And you have to make sure that you have something that is trustworthy and so that candidates and everyone believes that it was a fair process. And so you could possibly have on election day, you could have a denial of service attack could mess everything up. Or you could have viruses that could vote for things. So everything, I've tried to look at what the experts said on it, and that's a long ways off. But if you're going to change a voting system and have a tier, you can do that, but there need to be a lot more discussion and a lot more trust build up that people thought that was the right thing to do. And so it can't just be imposed.
There are those who say that we have inadequate software in our election system right now. And some are suspicious that it has been messed with. Whether it has or not, I'm not qualified to say. But they say that.
Well, one of the nice things, when I was looking at running for this position, I sat down and had a meeting with Fran Ulmer, who I see as one of our... I'm a National Board Certified teacher. I see Fran Ulmer as a National Board Certified Lieutenant Governor, one of the best ones we've ever had. She's just amazing. And if you ever go to YouTube and watch her sing the Alaska song, it's just phenomenal. So I will tell you this. You won't find a candidate that won't work harder to be a great Lieutenant Governor, but I will never sing as well as Fran Ulmer on YouTube. But she mentioned that one of the things that she brought up and pushed for was optical scanning. And so one nice thing about our voting process is they are optically scanned and sent in, but we have a paper trail. And if there was ever a question about trust and wondering what's going on, those votes can be counted and we can verify it. And I think that's one thing you need. You need a way that if there was something you thought was a little shady, you could have impartial people go in and double check and make sure. Because voting is one of those bedrock principles of our democracy. And we have to make sure that that it's trustworthy and it makes sense and that it works. And as Lieutenant Governor, I'll do that.
So you don't know about what we got and whether it might be susceptible to tampering.
I'm confident in the optical scanning that is going on now.
And
I like
the
fact
Diebold
that
company.
And I like the fact that there's a paper trail that if we ever had an issue, we could go back and count everything. And so I'm confident what we're doing. What I think we'd have to work on now is we have basically low voter turnout. And if we don't, we have a few people participating in a democratic process, that's a concern. And I'm going to build enthusiasm for that. I'm a teacher. When I taught in Nome, I went to the principal and I said, you know what? I want to see the same level of enthusiasm for mathematics. And I know before the show you shared a tough time with Algebra 2. But I said, I want to see the same level of enthusiasm for mathematics as sports. And so you have sports assemblies at Nome Belts. I'd like to have a math assembly. And the principal said, okay. And I had some colleagues, teachers of mine, that were kind of like, oh, what are you going to do? Make everyone pull out a number two pencil and take an SAT test? You know, what kind of assembly is this going to be?
Yeah, it's some kind of geekathon here. Hey.
And you know what I did? You take students that have a lot of mathematical talent and you showcase that. You have math poetry contests. You do a lot of different things. And it was a great assembly. And one of the things I did in that assembly is I talked about interest, mortgage interest, because a lot of people think you got a 30-year mortgage, after 15 years, you've paid half of it off. Not even close. And so we explained that in the assembly. And I had teachers call me up, some of the same ones that were a little bit cynical before, saying, okay, here's my interest rate. Here's what I'm paying per month. should I refinance? And that was back in the 90s, and it was high interest rates. And I said, yeah, you should definitely refinance. And they did. And that happened in Nome Belts. I've also done it at Palmer High School for 7-8 years. I did it at Colony High School. We're talking school-wide math assemblies with 1,000 kids. And so if I can build enthusiasm for mathematics assemblies across the state of Alaska, I'm going to do the same thing for voting. So when you're like, go to vote, whether you're doing early voting or voting by mail or you're voting, you're going to feel like you're an informed voter and you're doing something. And one of the things I plan to do is increase voter participation. And it's going to be fun, it's going to be exciting, and great things are going to happen.
Imagination and creativity.
Absolutely.
If you can do it to math, you can do it to elections, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, wait, now you may even be able to outdo Fran Ulmer in the enthusiasm department, because she was real big on the civic engagement, too. As you probably know, not just singing, but she really ran a civic engagement campaign. But I wouldn't say it was the most effective one. I mean, if she had a civic engagement rally, it wouldn't have all that much turnout.
I think you bring up a very good point that this isn't just going to be the Bob Williams show. This is going to be a coalition of support. So I would want to include Fran Ulmer in these initiatives that I'm doing. And as far as ever being compared to Fran Ulmer, I am not worthy of that, even the thought of that yet. But I will tell you what, I will work as hard as I can. The same effort I put into being a strong logger and the work ethic my parents drilled into me that made me Teacher of the Year. And I was one of five actually national finalists for the NEA Teaching Excellence Award in 2010. I will put that same effort in Lieutenant Governor.
Okay, we got a stack of calls for you, Bob Williams.
Excellent.
But before we do, I want to finish that math story I was telling you earlier, because I flunked Algebra 2, only thing I ever flunked.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with it was that it set me a year behind in the high school math course, so I never got calculus, because they had to go take Algebra 2 and plane geometry and all that stuff. So I never got calculus. Calculus is the foundation of how science understands the dynamics of the world.
Right.
I never learned it in high school.
Did you
I was
get
deprived
did
of
you
my
get it in
philosophy.
College?
No, I still don't know calculus.
Well, and I think that brings up a thing with equity. When I taught in Nome, I actually said, hey, we need to have I think the way we could work it was just have a one semester calculus class. And so I had kids from Nome going on and being engineers and said, oh, it was the same thing. It's okay. But I graduated from Palmer High. And when I graduated from Palmer High in 82, we didn't have calculus. I just had pre-calc. And so I'm in Fairbanks sitting down in petroleum engineering with all these kids from Anchorage that already had calculus. And it was a clear disadvantage. So
you're damn right it was.
We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to have these same opportunities for education.
How dare they teach engineering to somebody that didn't have calculus?
Well, I'm taking the first course in calculus, and there was a very and I had a great teacher, Marty Goetz, at UAF, and you had to go in and get some extra help, and work with classmates.
Yeah, same deal. Like to have a remedial, you're saying, kind of.
I'm just saying that. One of the things we need to look at when we're looking at education across the state of Alaska is that kids have similar opportunities. And a lot of our rural Alaskan students don't have the same opportunities in the urban areas. And we need to make sure that we bring those opportunities there.
Well, I mean, if I'd had a decent guidance counselor, they might have told me, mm-hmm. you know, and said, well, you know, this calculus is so important to you. Maybe you should do summer school or something. Because that could really be important mm-hmm. to your future. But I never had such. Same with typing, of course. When I went to high school, only girls took typing. So I had to go to night school to learn typing because you never could be a radio news person without typing.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, I was talking to a couple attorneys a couple nights ago at one of the fundraisers I was having, and they're talking about their daughter, and she just didn't have confidence in math, and she was in third grade. And one of the things I talked about is just, it's a educational term, it's called grit. And that is that ability to be persistent even when it might not be that much fun, and to persevere, and also to build up that confidence. You know, you're going to have people say, oh, you're not very smart, or you're not very good, and you have to build that confidence. And so I remember once being appalled. I had some of my brightest girls, and this is maybe 15 years ago, and I said, you know, what are you planning to be? And they'd say, well, I'm going to be an aerobics instructor. And I'd say, you can be an engineer. You can be a mathematics major. You can be whatever you want to be, a scientist, whatever there's, you can be that. And you can teach aerobics on the side and as a hobby. And so it's just one of those things that you want all your students to realize that work hard. And sometimes it might, you know, doing the little things like doing your homework are important, and work hard, and it makes difference. So make sure you have not just a positive attitude, but grit. And I'm bringing a lot of grit to the office of Lieutenant Governor.
Well, you've got some interest down there in the Independent Republic of Homer. All the calls are from Homer so far.
Oh, excellent.
I can't believe it. Homer. Let's go to Jenny. Joins the program from Homer. You're on the air with Bob Williams.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Hey, you had me at Strong Public Education for All Alaskans.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
And fair voting laws. I'm sure you're aware of the amount of money that Colorado's been able to raise in with taxing marijuana. And I'm going to hang up after I ask the question, but I just want to know what your thoughts are on legalization in Alaska. And do you see it as a possible source of funding, or do you see more problems than solutions? Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. On Proposition 1, or a proposition, the marijuana proposition, I will be voting no on that. But I also think that we have two very large pilot projects going on in Colorado and Washington looking at that. And I think one of the things I think we need to look at is it going to change the usage rates of youth? And in Colorado, they're trying to put things in place so that it isn't going to increase that. But we haven't seen evidence of it's probably going to change somewhat. How much is it going to change? Is it going to change the rate at which young people can get into the military? How is it going to change things? The other thing I think is a little bit odd is, you know, they're selling candy bars, and, you know, for someone who hasn't used, I've never used marijuana, I've never used it, but if someone was going to be a new user, one candy bar, on some of those candy bars, are considered 16 doses. And so you have a lot of, when I eat a candy bar, I'm usually eating two or three at a time. Same thing with cookies. I often eat three or four cookies. So I don't know that everyone is going home and putting their candy bars in lock boxes or those kind of things. So we have to make sure there's a lot more information. And the other thing is I just think we have a lot of problems in Alaska that we have to deal with. I work very hard as a teacher in Alaska, 2009 Teacher of the Year, to make sure students know as much as they can and they can be as productive. And we're going to have to be very sober and cognizant as we deal with those problems. So
you have to be very sober. Have to be now your position. If you did end up on the ballot, you'd now be trapped in a position on this that's on the ballot along with you. It's thought that that'll advantage Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you just sabotaged that by coming out against it.
You have to realize it. I mean, it might be science fine. Oh, well, let's do this. Let's do that. But I have to think about how is this going to be implemented. And I know I have to say
I don't know how Malott is on it. Whether he opposed it or not.
I'll let Byron speak on it on himself. Right. But I have to say, there's a woman in Juneau. Now, I do think the idea of putting people in jail and spending $60,000 a year to put them in prison is ridiculous. There's a woman in Juneau that was allowed 25 plants and she had 55, and that she got 1 year probation, but she could have gone to prison for 5 years. And I'd say that's a terrible use of $300,000. So I think move forward with the decriminalization, look what's going on in Colorado and Washington, but I will be voting no on this.
Thank you very much. A straight answer, by golly. From Bob Williams, running for Lieutenant Governor, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
Northern Air Cargo, providing year-round transportation of all types of freight, from vehicles and oversized equipment to small packages for corporations or small business. Northern Air Cargo, serving Alaska since 1956.
And by
ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
We're speaking with Bob Williams. He's running for Lieutenant Governor, the Democratic nomination. His opponent, Hollis French, will be on a later program, and Bob is telling us why he thinks you ought to vote for him. And we have a call from Homer, where Amy joins the program. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Bob Williams, Amy.
Thank you. I'm really excited about your enthusiasm for justice in voting and education. And I wondered if you could briefly contrast your positions with the other lieutenant governor candidates.
I would say on the Republican side, it's Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan is running, and he has been a proponent for school vouchers, and I am adamantly opposed to school vouchers. I think one problem with that bill was that. It pretended like it was only going to cost $1,500 to put it on the ballot. But when you looked at the Alaska Legislative Services, it showed that the actual cost, if we had vouchers, would be about $100 million a year. And that is a transfer of public money to non-public schools. And it doesn't do anything to improve the quality of our public education system. And this is a proposal at the same time after several years of flat funding public education. So I would say that is one large difference. And Hollis French is a Democratic candidate, and we align on several different issues. And we had a debate yesterday, which is going to be on addressing Alaskans, and you might hear some variation in there. But I would say that there is... I was asked, why am I running? I think one of the reasons I'm running is I think we've seen a huge disconnect between the values we have as Alaskans and the actions we see by our state government. And so to flat fund public education at the same time where you kind of sneak through this idea to, multiply by five the amount of rent you're paying for the Anchorage legislative offices, and you're at the same, and it's like a palace. It's absolutely like a palace. I think they've changed it now because they're getting some pushback, but there's going to be like $1 million for furniture. They're going to spend $100,000 to have a furniture
down,
theme.
It's down to $500,000 now.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to have a furniture theme, and I'm a logger. My dad, I grew up logging with my dad, and you know, if you really need a cheap chair, just cut. It doesn't even have to be birch or spruce. You can cut a cottonwood chair, and it'll be really cheap. But the idea that we're going to flat fund public education, not invest in our future, and yet splurge in this other area doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so I would say there's a difference in vision. And Anchorage Mayor Sullivan, one of the things he's promoted was he'll actually talk a little about Finland and Singapore. And by the way, if you want to learn more, there's a great book called Finnish Lessons that really talks about the environment they do to have a great education. I was actually one of four American teachers that was brought to Singapore in 2010 from there. They wanted to invite 10 international teachers and great teachers, and I was one of them, and presented in Singapore. And one of the great things about Singapore is they are so focused on having a great teacher in every classroom. They invest in education, they invest in teachers, and it was like being a rock star there. And it was everyone, you got the sense that everyone was not only focused on education, but the Minister of Education was a great teacher, and everyone understood teaching, and that it was respected and highly supported. And yet the Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan, one of the things he was promoting was, well, we're gonna get great teachers, and we'll take $100 million or $200 million, and we'll take smart students and pay for their education, and then they'll come back and teach in Alaska. Well, there's a problem with that. If they come back to Alaska and they are teaching in a school, and they're teaching in a high school, and they have 200 kids, and they have little time to teach this entire curriculum, and they're not going to have a retirement of any means, what's going to keep them there and attract them? And so I think we need to make sure that our investments are wise. We need to focus on quality. And many times in public education, we hear things that are peddled around as an efficiency. But if it's reducing quality, it's a huge problem. And we just have to make sure we're doing things that make sense. I'll give you an example. If you had a public school and you had every year, all the teachers left. They were first-year teachers, and then they all left the next year, and you got brand-new teachers the next year. That would be horrible, absolutely horrible, and it would be a travesty. But it's one of the cheapest ways you could run a system, and it might appear like it's efficient. So you always have to invest in quality, and you have to make sure that things are reasonable. And I've had conversations where sometimes I'm like, you have to make the role of teacher and teaching and everything we're supposed to do something that's reasonable. And I said, you've got a teacher that has 200 students, and they're supposed to be grading essays, and how does this work? And we got new standards, but we've got less time to do it. How does this all work? This doesn't make sense. There's no way to do it. And one of the responses I heard from someone in central office once was, well, give it your best shot. And I just have to say, that's a poor policy solution. Give it your best shot. Our students deserve better. We need to do more, and we have to make sure that our values and our actions are aligned.
Amy?
It's a problem between you and your Democratic opponent, but you sound really wonderful, and I'm less depressed about the future of Alaska. So thank you.
Thank you.
Amy and Homer, Spencer from Sitka weighs in with kind of an attaboy. This guy's great. Like Alaska politicians before the pipeline made Alaska the northernmost southern state.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, I was very honored once to be down in Sitka and went to a Dog Point fish camp, a Tlingit immersion camp, and it was absolutely awesome. And I know it rains in Sitka, but I didn't really know it by being there. I was down there for a few weeks, and what was great is because I was a teacher, they actually had me run the skiff sometimes back to Sitka, and so I'm like weaving around all these boats setting nets, and it was absolutely wonderful. And the wonderful people of Sitka, I have great memories. And also to the people calling in from Homer, I just have to say, love Homer. And actually, my parents were building a house in Soldovia. They were working on it for 30 years, and they were actually in their 70s trying to hang 14 pieces sheets of sheetrock. And so my wife
and I... Something wrong with that?
Yes. The kids had an issue with it. So we ended up buying it from them. So unfortunately, I haven't been getting down to Seldovia as much because I've been on the campaign last summer and this summer. But I actually love the Homer area.
You really love campaigning if you're passing up Seldovia.
And I have... That's one of the sacrifices. You have fewer salmon in the freezer and you have fewer halibut in the freezer running a campaign. But it's... A good sacrifice to make.
That impresses me. James in Anchorage, you're on the air with
Bob
Williams.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Hey, good to be here.
All right. I haven't heard any candidates talk about this particular issue on education. It's not really something that any state's doing, but I think Alaska could, and that's have, like, mandatory computer science classes. Not computer processing, but, like, actual computer science. And I just want to know what you think of that, because that's going to be the future. We talk about engineering... Because, you know, we're a mining state, oil state. Mm-hmm. But we got to start doing something with, you know, computers, internet, because that's really what's going to make us, you know, economically competitive.
And when you're thinking of that, do you have certain examples of great programs or great courses that meet that definition?
There's definitely not any. This is something I've been kind of studying for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like there's only like 11 states that are doing it. And besides California and like Silicon Valley, the rest of the states are doing extremely poor, and we're not teaching kids computer coding or anything really how to use the computer in more interesting ways. That's really going to push us to the next level. And have you ever thought about any type of program, especially since you're a math teacher yourself, about, you know, what can we do to teach computer education, make kids more computer literate?
Yeah, I would say, and I teach at Colony High School, and I know the Todd across the hall from me has several different Microsoft certification programs and different there are a lot of things where kids can get certified and, you know, basically take those skills directly into the workforce or go further with them. But I would say as far as mandating things, I think one of the dangers sometimes we see in our legislature is they say, well, we want to do this, and so we're going to pass a law, and every teacher now has to do this for 2 hours, or every kid has to take this particular course. And we want to make, like I mentioned earlier, you always want to focus on quality. And so I would be most comfortable with making sure that we were really clear, we knew what the program was, what the curriculum was, see an example of it, make sure that everyone understands that, and then see what the capacity is to implement it. And
I know what you're talking about there, James. You know, I stumbled across some people that were among those that created Facebook, it's all about, in that shop they were explaining the culture in there. It's all about writing code. Mm-hmm. It's all about writing code. But if I were to have a young person that was inclined in that direction, I would not know what instructional path to put them on outside of working under somebody else as almost an apprentice to really start figuring out what you could do with that code.
And I think it also brings up a good point that we have lots of, I teach calculus, so I want students to understand differentiation and integration and those applications and, you know, rotation of volume problems. But we also want to make sure that we're fostering creativity, intellectual curiosity, and ownership of our own learning and pushing themselves. And if you look at a lot of those very successful entrepreneurs that ended up, you know, running great companies, they were curious, had great imaginations, and they pushed themselves, but they also had some resources to get there. And we want to make sure that we're providing kids resources and opportunities.
James?
Exactly. I don't think the state is.
All right. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Williams, you got any thoughts on higher education?
I
got to say this about education. It seems that, I don't know if you had all the money you wanted to invest in education, maybe I fear that it could be almost a black hole, that there's limitless capacity to spend money.
Oh, God. I am so glad you went there, okay? Because that, I would...
All right!
I would say if there's one thing I am fighting, and that is that we have to put education on even footing. And there's, there was another Lieutenant Governor candidate that kind of talked about, well, we can't just throw money at education. And so when we're talking about investing in public education and when we're talking about trying to meet the needs of all Alaskans, it's not throwing money, it's investing. And yet when we're talking about these legislative offices, that's throwing money. But they talk about, well, that's just something else we did. So we need to have an even playing field. And one of the things is we might build a billion-dollar bridge so that when I go home today, I can get to Wasilla 7 minutes quicker. And to me, if there's really that much of an incentive there, there should be some sort of private solution to it. You know, when they looked at, oh, we think the tolls will pay for it. Well, they looked at not really. Well, this and so we talk about up to a billion dollar bridge when you look at particularly feeder roads and that. But then when we talk about public education, it's always, well, we're broke, we can't do it. And we just need to have an even playing field. And there's, you look at the studies, and what the studies show are that, yes, when you invest in education with an eye on quality, not just putting money into there, making sure that you're investing in quality, it really makes a difference. And so, yeah, I'll give you an example. One thing we need in Alaska, we need a lot more transparency. I have a degree in petroleum engineering, and so we have a big, actually, on my primary election, we have a big referendum, Proposition 1. And I'm voting yes on Proposition 1.
And you're a petroleum engineer. You're voting yes.
I have a petroleum engineering degree.
Oh, give me a break.
I worked 2 summers as a roustabout. But here's what happens. I do think when the price of oil is very high, ACES takes too much. And I agree a lot with Republican Bert Stedman in that what we're doing right now on SB 21, our revenue is about $1 billion less than what North Dakota would be. And so we need to, SB 21 went way too far. And so I'm voting yes, and there needs to be some adjustment to ACES. But we need to make sure that we're dealing with information. One of my themes, and I run to people that support this, and I think it's going to be, that ballot is going to be hard because it's being outspent 1,000 to 1. You know, you watch the commercials, it's not even. And when you have that kind of spending, the undecided vote isn't going to split 50-50. But I do think we have to have good information. And we have to make sure that there's some things that make sense. So when I see something put up by BP that says some of their information says Alaska missed out on the nation's oil boom because taxes are too high. And then it talks about production increased 192% in North Dakota over the past 5 years and it declined in Alaska. There's a huge problem with that. I don't care where you're at on Proposition 1, but I don't think anyone who's informed really believes that statement. Because everyone knows that the reason North Dakota shot up is because they discovered shale oil. And to try and pretend that Alaska's production is declining because of the tax structure and North Dakota shot up because they're not under the ACES structure is absolutely ludicrous. So we have to make sure, I think even more important than whether you vote yes or no on Proposition 1, we need to make sure Alaskans, that we all do our homework on these initiatives and can really be clear about what's true and what's not.
Oh, boy. Bob Williams, our guest on Talk of Alaska, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank Alaska, helping Alaska's business dreams grow for more than 90 years. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Celebrate summer with Alaska Public Media and world-renowned barbecue chef and author Stephen Reichland of PBS and the Create Channel shows Barbecue University and Primal Grill on July 25th through the 27th. The benefit for Alaska Public Media include a barbecue salmon cook-off, barbecue class, and a pig roast over lunch. Tickets available at alaskapublic.org. It's sponsored by Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Hotel Captain Cook, and Crush Wine Bar and Bistro.
Well, there's little doubt that Bob Williams, running for lieutenant governor, is quite the advocate for education. And Bob weighs in by internet from Bethel saying, I'm afraid I'm going to have to vote for another candidate. This fellow sounds too valuable to lose as a classroom teacher.
Well, and Bob and Bethel, please go over and talk to John Ungayek in Bethel. And he's a strong supporter. He's endorsed me. And one of the highlights of my campaign is actually been traveling around and, you know, going pulling fish from a subsistence net in Dillingham and going on the Napakiak and Napaskiak on the Kuskokwim River. And actually back where the Johnson hits the Kuskokwim, there was actually about 1.5 miles in March where people were fishing for pike. And I went, it wasn't door to door knocking, but I went ice hole to ice hole and campaigning. And love the people of Bethel and the surrounding Delta. And so, Bob, go talk to John. And one of the things that John said to me was, and that really made a difference in my campaign, it was a little chilly, and I had my dad's old logging jacket, and it had a hole in it, it had a safety pin because a button was missing. And I put it on, and it was warm, and I said, oh, I wish I could wear this on the campaign trail, but it's a little tattered and can't do it. And John said, wear it. He said, wear it. The reason we like you is because you're not rich. We like you because you're a teacher. Your father was a working man, and you're one of us. And so I've been wearing that jacket when I needed to, or it's warm right now, so I'm not wearing it all the time. But that really was a turning point in my campaign where I just felt comfortable on the campaign trail and meeting Alaskans, wearing my dad's jacket. I was in the Captain Cook once, and I had it on, and some woman, she was a little inebriated, looked at me and said, she called me tractor trash, and I smiled at her and said, Bob Williams, I'm running for lieutenant governor, son of a logger, mom was a nurse, and strong on public education, strong on rural Alaska, and you go on from there. And I'd say that thing too.
Did you get an answer?
I don't think she was that open to political discussions at the time. But that is one of the wild things. I think we need a lot more people like myself stepping up and running. And doing it from the lower rungs of middle class is hard, but it's certainly not impossible. And you have these wild experiences. I was out at Fox outside of Fairbanks, and the howling dog for this which is a bar, and they had this big food stock campaign. And I went in the restroom, and this was one of the more bizarre things that I had happened. There's a man there, and his shirt had a huge hole in it. He had a big one, his nipples sticking out. His pants were down. He was half naked, and he looks at me, and I thought this was bizarre. And he saw my butt and said, Bob Williams for lieutenant governor. And he goes, why should I vote you for lieutenant governor? And I'm like, I'm Bob Williams, son of a logger. I basically gave him the same pitch that I've had with thousands of Alaskans across the phone, except he was standing there half naked, and I don't know what he was doing. And
he might have been changing clothes or something.
I don't know. But then he looked at me and says, yeah, I like you. I like you. I'm going to vote for you. And so, but that's it. You go out there and you listen to people. And there's just so many people out there. They want to know that people care, that they're respected, that they're welcomed, and that they're listened to. And I would tell you this, Katie Hurley is a co-chair on my campaign, also with Tim Parker in Fairbanks. And to have someone at the Constitutional Convention that is supporting my campaign and a co-chair, and all the incredible Alaskans I've met across the state, if people knew how exciting and how fun this was, I think hundreds of people would be running for lieutenant governor. And so there's a small business owner that I spoke with, and he's like, oh, I could never run. And then I talked to him, and I just said, well, if you care and you want to see change, you have to make a difference. And then he was like, well, I did think about school board once. And we just need a lot more of those people who think that I could never, and realize that they would actually be very good. And when you look at Alaska, this is a state where you step up and you let people know what you care, and you're going to listen, and you can make a difference.
We have a call from Wasilla, of all places.
Oh, excellent.
Maybe somebody that knows you.
Oh, we'll see.
Mr. Williams. Jim, you're on the air with Bob Williams.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, good to be here.
Good. And no, I don't know you. I recently moved up here. My name's Tim. But I was curious about how you felt about Proposition 2. I haven't heard that yet. And how we seem to be unfunding education in this country and trying to destroy public education. And maybe my view is an abstract one, but I seem to think that we're trying to diseducate our populace so that we can have a sub-working class like a third world country, and we don't want to educate anybody anymore. I'm kind of wondering if that's probably the impetus behind, number two is to bankrupt the government so that we can't fund education anymore, we can't fund the roads, and then we're going to end up taxing the working man and back into indentured servitude of some form or another. Maybe I'm an abstract.
Okay, when you say measure two, what one are you referring to? What's it about?
Oh, ballot measure two. Is it? I think that's the oil.
Oh, that's number one.
That's
that number one.
Oh. Yeah, a yes vote basically repeals the tax system they put in place, and a no vote would not repeal it.
Yeah, and I am, like I said, I worked as a rust boat for two summers, and have friends in the oil patch, and I'm actually a BP teacher of excellence, and so I'm voting yes on Proposition 1. Because I do believe that SB 21 went way too far. If you look at the revenue, it went way too far. I think ACES needs to be adjusted when the price of oil is high. I'm in agreement with Republican Senator Bert Stedman, and I think he has a lot of wise thoughts on this. And we need something in between there.
Jim's speculation that it almost sabotages our educational system to be endangering our revenues?
I'm thinking that we need a strong economy and we need a strong oil industry, but we need to make sure that let me put it this way. When we're talking about gas lines or we're talking all these things, all times I get concerned when I hear politicians say, well, we've got to do something. We've got to, you know, why are we doing this? Well, we've got to do something. And I'm like, we've got to do something smart. You know, I mean, we can't do something stupid. And so sometimes like, well, we've got to do something. And so when we say, well, our production is declining and we've got to do something. And that's one thing I like to say. We need to make sure people understand what's going on. So, you know, Tim Bradner in May 16th, 2013, in an article he wrote, he said, well, this change is really to take oil company profits from 26% to 38%. Well, I think that's a good discussion for Alaskans to have. Is 26% profits enough? Or should it really need to go to 38%?
Hey, Bob Williams, I think we can get one more call in.
Okay.
Let's go to Diane in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk Alaska, Diane.
Hi. Welcome to you too, guys. I'm so excited about this. Steve, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Diane Perret.
Oh, hi, Diane.
I'm a kindergarten teacher in Barrow and taught somebody very special.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, knowing that, I'm a retired teacher now. I retired so I could come down and take care of a little 2-year-old grandchild. So education is absolutely my passion, has always been. I taught on the slope for over 30 years. And I just want to congratulate him. And I am talking to everybody that I know so that they will go and vote for Bob, because I feel more than anything, we have got to get somebody down there in Juneau who understands education, who understands the needs for the students of this state, and we've got to change things because it's just plain scary.
All right, Diane, we're out of time. I want to end with one question here. Let's say you lose. Do you stay in politics? Do you try again for something?
I don't understand the word lose. I'm really serious about this. When you spend a year and a half of your life, every waking moment, you put everything you can into it, and I'm putting together a plan to win, and I want to thank my wonderful supporters across the state. It's been I'm honored for that support, and there isn't a candidate out there that will work harder to honor the value of those contributions of time and energy and money. So thank you.
Very enjoyable. Thank you very much, Bob Williams. Next time on Talk of Alaska, it's the Alaska Daily Dispatch. Owners, yes, true, next week. I want to thank Dave Waldron. Not sure who else is on the crew today. I'm Steve Heimel. Thank you for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. If you've served in the military, the Alaska VA welcomes you home and thanks you for your service. We encourage you to enroll for VA health care benefits. Go to 1010ez.med.va.gov to apply online in less than 5 minutes, or print, fax, or mail the 2-page form to the VA. You do not need your DD-214 to apply. Call 257-3323 for questions. This message is sponsored by the VA. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.